We're taking our service today from Matthew 26. If you have your Bibles handy, please open with me to Matthew 26. And I'm going to read from verse 17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. And we know from the other Gospels that at this time Jesus washes his disciples' feet and makes them ready for the meal. And then in verse 20, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Doesn't take long to read that section, does it? To describe such a momentous meal. So momentous that artwork across centuries has been painted of this very occasion. I believe that there are five invitations in this passage. Invitations from Jesus. Invitations made not only to the disciples, but I believe they've also been made to us today. The first one is easy to spot. In verse 18, he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" The disciples here are being invited to dine with Jesus. Nothing like getting an invitation to dinner, is there? It's delightful. You think, great, somebody likes me. I'm going to go along and I'm going to enjoy time with someone that I care about. That's a wonderful thing to have. In this case, there are some preparations to be made, and Jesus trusts his disciples with this important work. More than that, Jesus is inviting them to a celebration that was normally only celebrated amongst family. The Passover meal was when all the families came together in Jerusalem. So by inviting them to this meal, Jesus is, in some way, calling his disciples family. Even knowing that it was his very last Passover, even knowing that the next day he would be put on a cross, Jesus doesn't eat with his family, but with his disciples primarily. He invites them into the place of family. And I think he does the same with us today. Revelation 3 says that he stands at the door and knocks and will enter in to sup with us. He wants to eat with us. When you eat with someone, and you've heard me if you've come to our recipe club and I've talked about it, commensality I called it. If you eat with someone, it establishes a relationship with people. It bonds you together. It's part of why we eat together here. Because when you eat with someone, it makes you closer. And so Jesus wants that with us. He's inviting his disciples to eat with him, and I'm sure they've eaten many times. But this is a very special meal for Jesus, his Last Supper. But Jesus also extends that invitation to us. And not just the invitation to sup with him, but the invitation to be family with him as well. He invites us to be family. And we believe this because the Bible says that through him we have adoption into the family of God. That's quite incredible when you think about the God of the universe not only wanting to save us, but to make us his close family. That's quite an invitation, isn't it? That's the first invitation. And I want to extend that invitation to you today. Will you be family with God? Will you let Jesus in your heart today to sup with you? You don't have to answer. But these are just invitations I believe he offers us today as we celebrate communion. And I guess the second invitation is no surprise either. It comes about because at any family gathering, there's going to be some issues. I'm not sure if you've ever had a family gathering like that. We used to have Christmas lunch at my house every year, and I loved it. All my family was so close, but without fail, someone would have a fight. One of the kids would break something and get in trouble and get yelled at. Families. And with any family gathering, though, there's also serious topics to discuss. And in verse 20, when evening came, Jesus is reclining at the table with the 12. He's relaxed. He's with the people that he loves. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." Out of nowhere, boy, have you ever had someone drop a bomb like that at a dinner that you've been having? Why did they say that? Did Jesus know who his betrayer was? Of course he does. But he doesn't specify him straight away, does he? And his statement about a betrayer brings about quite a stir amongst the disciples. Maybe we shouldn't have expected it. These are his closest and nearest followers. But this simple statement, "One of you will betray me," sets them all aflutter. Verse 22 says, they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." It's a funny question to ask. How can they not know if they've betrayed the Lord? But maybe that sounds familiar to you. Maybe you're not sure either. Maybe you've asked this question. Have I betrayed you, Lord? Have I done wrong? Have I let you down? Is it possible that Jesus has asked this question as an invitation for them to reflect on their walk with him? Possibly. In the same way, as we come to the Lord's Supper, as we come to ordinances today, I believe that same invitation is offered to us, for us to reflect on our recent journey with the Lord and ask ourselves, "Is it me, Lord? Have I betrayed you? Where have I let you down?" And so that's the second invitation. How are you with God today? Jesus invites you to reflect on your walk with him. Have you walked far away from Jesus lately? Are you walking closely? What is the Spirit telling you about your walk with God today? Maybe you feel your walk is lacking. Maybe you find sin in your heart. Jesus found such a thing in Judas. And since the second invitation had no effect, Jesus makes an even more pointed invitation for the third invitation. Verse 23, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Judas knew, though, didn't he? Of course he did. He wanted to know whether Jesus knew. Jesus answered, "You have said so." Jesus could see to the heart of Judas. He directly identifies Judas as the one who will betray him. And I often wonder why the disciples didn't leap up and try and stop Judas from doing whatever he was about to do. Maybe they didn't hear. Maybe despite Jesus telling them over and over again what was about to happen, they didn't quite understand. And that, that could be what happened. Because I know that in John, when Judas leaves, the disciples think that he must have gone to buy something for the festival or to help the poor. But what does Judas do instead? Judas leaves. He directly identifies Judas and he leaves. Jesus is inviting Judas to repent. He's directly told him what his sin is. And he's saying, "Woe to you if this happens." Rather than stay and have it pointed out, however, we see that Judas leaves. He doesn't stick around. John 13 tells us that. And I guess I think about my own sins. When Jesus points my own sins out to me, I have two options. I can acknowledge them, or I can walk away from Jesus. I can step away from them. And Judas chooses to leave. I guess there's no denying the fact that Jesus already knows our sins. You know, we can fool the person sitting on the pew next to us. You can even possibly fool your spouse. But you can't trick Jesus. He sees right to your heart. Now, bear in mind, Judas was still invited to the meal. But I wonder about us. We're invited to honestly walk away from that sin. And I don't know what's happening in your life. But maybe you know that sin. Jesus is inviting you to get rid of that sin, to acknowledge it and to give it up. And that's the third invitation today. You know, because when you remain at the supper, when you stay at the meal, the next invitation is extraordinary. Because Jesus invites his disciples to take the bread and the wine, emblems and representatives of Jesus' body and blood, into their own body. And I'm going to read from John 6 to explain exactly what that means. John 6, verse 53. That's John 6, verse 53. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." So consider the invitation that Jesus is offering not only his disciples, but us today by feeding on this bread and wine, emblems of Jesus' body and blood. He is inviting us into eternal life. He is inviting us to live with him. He is inviting us to take his very essence into us. He will live in our hearts, he's saying. Now that's an incredible invitation, that he will be so close to us. Would you like to accept that invitation today? There's one more invitation. The final gift that he offers. When you've taken that fourth invitation, he says in verse 29, back in Matthew 26, verse 29 says, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He's saying to his disciples, one day we are going to do this again in my Father's kingdom. He says, I'm going to wait until you're there with me before I celebrate again. And he's offering us that same invitation, that we can join in that supper in heaven, the Lord's Supper with him, and sup one more time. That's the fifth invitation, to celebrate with him. Would you like to be at that supper? Amen, I would. There are five invitations here that I see to prepare ourselves and get ready for this service, to reflect on our walk with God, to repent of the sin that we know is in our hearts, to receive Jesus once we've done that, and to rejoice because one day we will once again sup with him. I can't wait for that day. Those invitations were for the disciples and they are for us right now. So we're going to move to the ordinance of humility, a chance to prepare and reflect and repent of our sins. So let's receive Jesus and those invitations and rejoice that we'll see him one day face to face.